Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control, and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor, and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it, just go ahead. So he kept walking. And mess around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And in the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is When God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt. I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way. Your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
All right. We switched the topic that we were going to go with, which would be news deserts. We're going to plow that topic into tomorrow where we have a guest on. We're going to talk about mass communication, electronic media, and ways that you can profit from. Because media is going through a transformation. It's been going through one for about 20 years or so. Still, it's still in the pioneer phase, in my opinion. So we'll cover that tomorrow with a guest that we have scheduled in. But we changed the title or the topic of today's podcast to, I guess, it's sort of a trending topic. Should Aretha Franklin's song, Natural Woman, be banned? Once again, the question of the day, which is sort of a trending topic, should Aretha Franklin's song, Natural Woman, be banned? And some people that are calling for it being banned, some, not all, you got to watch my speech, allegedly some people that are members of the trans women's community think that the song Natural Women by Aretha Franklin is offensive. And some have called for it to be banned off of platforms like Spotify. So let's look this up right now. Aretha Franklin, the song is titled You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman. That's the full title of it. And let's see what Wikipedia says about the song. It was a hit for her. Now, this song was released in 1967, so let me read from Wikipedia about the song You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, once again, recorded and sung by Aretha Franklin. You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman is a 1967 single. Hold on, I got to make sure I'm... Okay, hope you guys can hear me. On the Atlantic label, the words were written by Jerry Goffin, from an idea by Atlantic producer Jerry Wexler. And the music was composed by Carol King. Written for Franklin, the record was a big hit, reaching number 8 on the Billboard Hot 100, and became one of her signature songs. It made history in the UK singles chart a week after her death, finally becoming a hit again almost 51 years after it was first released, entering in at 79. Franklin also included a live recording on the album Aretha in Paris in 1968. So, interesting. Oh, Carole King herself recorded the song in 1971 on her Tapestry album. That was a big selling album. Among the numerous cover versions of the song include versions by Mary J. Blige and Celine Dion, both of which charted in the same year, 1995. They also recorded it. And however, some member, I don't even know how to protect myself legally. Allegedly, some, not all, members of the trans women's community find the song You Make Me Feel Like a, in air quotes, natural woman. Some of them feel offended by it. They think it's offensive. And they think the song should be taken off of platforms like, Apple Music, Spotify, whatever they got out there. So, what do you guys think? 619-768-2945. I typically don't even bring up any issues within the transgender community because if you say something they don't like, they have the power to shut you down. So I haven't been shut down as of yet in 9 years. So hopefully this one won't do it. But what do you guys think? Me personally, I don't think it's offensive. The song was released in 1967. A different time in history, a different political climate. It was not a can't. This is, we're living in cancel culture right now, 2023. So when the song was written and recorded, and it was, I mean, Carole King was one of the writers, woman. So, and Carole King's a natural woman. She's had children. She's a mother. Aretha Franklin, she's a natural woman. She's had children. You know, they've gone through things that men have not experienced, being natural-born DNA biological women. Anyway, I don't think it should be banned. Let me see. Well, I got to find my studio again. Okay, let me find it. Hold on. Waiting for my studio on the phone to repopulate so I can see what's what. Okay, but what do you guys think? What, I mean, should it be banned or not? Let's see. And I'm returning the text right now. Let's see. Okay. Now, if you guys don't want to bite on that one, our idea came up yesterday, which we want to follow up on, which was we're going to do we're going to organize, I guess, as a beta project to start. A bill. A build camp, a build retreat for kids, where the children, parents, or grandparents, or all anybody concerned, it'll be a build weekend, retreat weekend, where you have, you know, parent and child, or parent, grandparent, or any combination thereof, they'll be building projects together, from birdhouses to tiny houses. So that we're going to try that out. Okay. So anyway, the question of the day: should Aretha Franklin's Natural Woman be banned? Should that record be banned? And like I said, you have some members, not all members, some members of the transgender community that find that song offensive and what we're going to do before we take your calls on that, let's see, and we got this topic like 5 minutes before we want to start today, because I would have, you know, tried to get the song queued up, but well, we're working on it as a sweep. All right, so we'll be back in a few minutes to take your calls, and the question of the day is, should Aretha Franklin's Natural Woman, the song, be banned? And that song has been recorded by other artists besides Aretha Franklin. And one of the people who helped produce the song, Carole King, she's a woman. So, I can't even word it right. We'll be right back.
of the sunshine. We get high of the sunshine. Every day the same. Be grooving. Every day the same.
I couldn't find a platform quick enough to get it up so you guys can hear the song Natural Woman. But if you go on YouTube, for those of you who have never heard it, you can go on YouTube and put in Aretha Franklin's Natural Woman, and that will be there. All right. Let's see. Excuse me. All right. Let's see. Tomorrow. We're going to cover the original topic that we're going to cover today, which will be niche market news, and then we're going to take a look at media deserts. Media deserts, because a lot of people have problems that can be solved if they were exposed to, you know, the right type of information. So we'll cover what, you know, what is a media desert. You know, If there is a media desert, what can you do to capitalize on it? Let's see. Okay. So we got a guest that should be calling in for that as well. And then Friday we have Family Capital. Family Capital with Delmar America. Family Capital, and that, you know, Family Capital, how to turn family wealth into paychecks. How to turn family wealth into paychecks. So that's with Delmar America this coming Friday. And then we'll give you updates tomorrow as well as Friday on we're going to do a beta test run. I just formed a society titled, and we talked about it Monday, where we're going to bring it back again Friday, and we're going to include this beta test in this. The House Rent Society. The House Rent Society. And for those who missed Monday's podcast, the House Rent Society is based on the male house rent. Before there is a mating in the house male house wren community, and the house wren is spelled W-R-E-N, the male house wren can build up to 12 nests. You know, some might do 3, some might do 5, but they can do up to 12 nests. And then they go looking for a mate. Now, if the female house wren, you know, he shows her what he's got. And then if the nest is to her liking, then they mate and create, you know, family. But the first order of business, now this is nature. This is nature. The male house wren must build the nest. Not a nest, okay, but he builds up to 12. Some might build 3, some might build 5, but quite a few of them do build up to 12. And I think if we follow nature's lead in this, which we're using the male house rent as a barometer, then any type of financial situation that you have can be resolved. Because out of those 12, you can live in one, and then out of the remaining 11, you know, they can be rental properties, you can build it and sell it, you can build it and rent it out. You know, you can build it for guests, you can build it for relatives, but 12. Now, and think of this, they do this every year. Now, the lifespan of the typical house rent is 7 years. So imagine if you had one, I mean, if the average child, I mean, the second year, you got 24 houses built. You only live near one. Okay. Now, this is nature. So I'm figuring if a house wren can do this, a human being can too. So more on a house wren tomorrow as well as Friday. Now, the question of the day, and I came across this about 5 minutes or less before we were supposed to start the podcast. So today's topic, which was supposed to be news niches, we're going to roll that into tomorrow's topic, which tomorrow we're going to be focusing on media anyway, mass media. The topic is based on something I ran across. Some people, not all, but some people in the trans women's community and trans women, I might get in trouble for just saying this, but trans women were born biologically male. That's a biological fact. However, some trans males, I mean, excuse me, trans women, they say, I mean, you ask, it depends on who you talk to. Some say, I wasn't born a male or a female, I was born a baby. That's how they identify, that they were born a baby. They weren't born a male baby, they were born a baby. Some of them, they were born in a male body, but they identify as female. So in any event, you have some trans women, once again, not all, you have some trans women who want Aretha Franklin's song. And Aretha Franklin's song, she didn't even write the song, but she was the first one to make it a hit. And other people since then, like Carole King, who helped write the song, Mary J. Blige, Celine Dion, and others, other women have sung that song, but you have some trans women that think that song is offensive and they want the song banned. Now, let's see if we can get a little bit more backstory on this before we go to the phone lines. Let's see. Okay. And if there are any ladies out there, what do you think? When I say ladies, let me break this down. Women that were born, that your DNA says without a doubt you're a woman. Okay, now. Transgender organization wants to ban Aretha Franklin's Natural Woman because they say it's offensive. That's the headline here I'm reading. The Transcultural Mindfulness Alliance, also known as TCMA, in Norway made a statement on Twitter. Aretha Franklin's Natural Woman is deemed offensive by transgender organization, claiming that it perpetuates anti-trans stereotypes, and it's looking to get the song removed from online platforms like Spotify and Apple Music. The song, which has been a bastion of womanhood, you know, I'm just thinking about Helen Reddy's I Am Woman. Is that next? Seriously, is that next? I Am Woman, you want to get that banned too? Anyway, the song, which has been a bastion of womanhood and femininity in general, is now considered offensive by the Transcultural Mindfulness Alliance in Norway. The newly found group has been taking on basic issues like birth certificates, pet genders, and how Aretha's Aretha Franklin's legendary song. Okay, what else? Let's see. What else do they have on this? Now, some say it was blasted by a fake trans group. So some say that the trans group that put this Twitter message out was actually a fake trans group. The Washington Examiner says, this is 2 days ago, Aretha Franklin's 1968 song, Natural Woman, perpetuates multiple harmful anti-trans stereotypes. All right, and they took that page down. All right, well, let me find my way back to the studio and see what you guys think about this. I mean, I look at it as, well, let's look at the lyrics of the song before I go to the phone lines, all right? And you can find the lyrics online. Looking at the morning rain. I'm trying to find out what's so offensive about this song, so I'm looking at the lyrics. Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired. When I knew I had the face of another day, Lord made me feel so tired. I'm looking for something offensive. It says, because you make me feel like a natural woman. Okay. And I don't see anything. I'm not going to read all these lyrics, man, but it. Once again, let me go to you guys. I'm finding my way back to the studio here. So some say it was fake news put out by a fake trans women's group or fake trans group. And I'll just, as a disclaimer, I personally have nothing against anybody in the trans community. However, with this tweet, I think it's kind of petty. But anyway, that's my thing. All right, 619-768-2945. That's the number for today. If you got any, or if you want to bring up any other topic, tomorrow we do have a guest, and then Friday we have a guest as well. So, and like I said, we're organizing a beta test for the House Rent Society, and I'll give you updates on that tomorrow. I don't have any updates on today. But tomorrow and Friday, we'll give you updates on the beta test that we'll run out for the, which includes teaching kids how to, or actually people of any age, but we're looking for black families that want to put together a building project together based on the mating pattern or the family pattern of the male house rent. Okay, 309 area code, your mic is open. Okay, you might have stepped away.
Good morning, L.A. How are you today?
Fine. Any updates, any comments, or any other topics?
Well, I'll definitely was just kind of taking in, you know, the information that you were given today on, you know, the difference between a transgender woman. And so, yeah, the house ran, you know, I'm really inspired by that situation. And it kind of comes down to what you do if you had a penny a day and doubled it for 30 days, but just being on just 30 times, not necessarily a 30-day situation, but I think in half of the Wren's life, or not quite, two-thirds anyway, to have 30 different seasons that it made those houses, or not 30 different seasons, I'm sorry, but 30 houses in the lifespan of it. You know, not necessarily 12 a day, but just doing the 30 and doubling what they were doing over half their life, they were able to amass a vast fortune.
Right. Matter of fact, I'm looking up to see how many, let's see. All right, their breeding season is from early May to late August. All right, so how many times a year are they? Probably both parents feeding nestling young. All right, now here's something interesting. House wrens typically produce 2 broods per year. So within that mating system, season from May to August. I had to do more research on it. Is it with the same female, or and they produce two sets of chicks, all the same parents, or do they, you know, in other words, do they mate for life, or do they, you know, go with other people, whatever? But we know they do at least do 12. So, and on rare occasions, they mate three times a year. But, I mean, that's within that season of May, early May to late August. All right. So it's they typically lay, the female typically lays 4 to 7 eggs on rare occasion she might lay 9. All right, let's see. House wrens usually attempt their first nest in early May, shortly after arriving in the spring, and nesting continues well into August. I found active nests until August 26. Do wrens come back to the same house every year? Depends. If a site is successful, the pair may return to the same nest. If successful, they'll return to the same territory each season. So they have a territory, and then within that territory, they have their nest. Okay, let's see. Interesting creature, the house wren. So we'll give you an update on that tomorrow and Friday. One other factor, the young house wrens leave the nest about 12 to 18 days after hatching. Okay. Let's see.
Wow, that is quick.
Yeah, that is.
Talking about 2 weeks' time, and they're out of the nest.
Right.
That is an ability.
Well, we'll learn more about the house wrens. And now the male, he has to build the frame of the first. He shows them to the female, and then when she decides on one, she adds her touch, you know, to it to prepare for the laying of the egg. So in the end, it's a joint project, but he's got to go out there and pick the locations and all, you know, at least get the basic frame up of the nest together. So anyway, we'll follow what they do and what we do. Let's see, any other updates, Chris?
Well, we got the Dream Habitat website up and running. That's dreamhabitat.org. Yeah, dreamhabitat.org.
Okay.
And let's see, we've got 4 tiny houses that are built in Florida that are looking for a home. 2 of them need to be built. 2 of them already are. And those. Well, the ones that haven't been built are $10,000 plus shipping.
Yeah, two of them need a home. Two of them need a place to be.
Yeah.
You know what part of Florida they're in?
They're in Miami.
They're going to have to go out in Dade County to find a spot.
Plenty of land out there.
All right, because I doubt you're going to get something in the city of Miami.
Well,
that'll...
actually, every household that is built, every house that's built in Miami can have an ADU, an additional dwelling unit. That has just been passed.
That's legal. They can get it that way. All right, well, all they have to do is put it on the foundation.
Yes, actually,
according
they didn't have to put it on the foundation. It's on cinder blocks right now.
Okay.
So you can set it up like a mobile home situation, just up off the ground and go.
All right, well, as long as, what do you call it, the building inspector says it's good, that's what it comes down to.
Right. And we are looking to do a promotion that they done to help out Flint, Michigan with their water problem back years ago. It was called 24 Hours of Peace, and 64 cities raised money toward the problem and bringing them some solutions. And the gentleman and the publicist and stuff that she's been on here as well put that on are wanting to do it again. So, you know, it was more like doing the challenge of the 50 cities in 50 weeks. We can do more. We could do thousands. We know that there's 17,000 municipalities. But we need the country to come alive for one day. And we're going to be discussing that and putting that together to get it launched out. You know, where we were talking 50 cities in 50 weeks, we can do 50 cities in a day. And that would just be amazing. They've done it once, and they want to do it again. But this time they want to do it on a humanitarian effort and not just
let me ask you
localized.
Because I like that with the business model you're talking about, 50 in a day. Now, I guess you would have to get at least 50 solid boots on the ground people to be your partner. So,
yeah.
In your opinion, what's the best way to build up to that number 50?
Actually, the easiest way.
50 reliable people on the ground.
Yeah, to get 50 people on the ground that know what they're doing, the easiest way to do it is you get a hold of your local steel framing union, and you ask them if one person will come out and do a demonstration with some people, because they work with this material every day.
Okay.
And the thing is you're not only going to get the one, you're going to get more. So every community can do a different challenge. They can do as much as they want. It is to raise money. It is to raise awareness. And as we're doing this, we want to spread the word about Section 3 and the people that are on the waiting list of Section 8. We want to show them that they can do more and have, you know, appreciate life because they're going to get a chance. We just want to let people know that the only reason we're being held back is because you're not educated on what is out there and what you can do. And I think this would be a good idea. Just, you know, if we popped off 50 cities and knocked out 50 houses, just, you know, a couple hours at each city. We're talking 24 hours. So if we'd done that, and I was talking last night about Chicago, we have a 10,000 square foot building that there's a youth program that's working on restoring old automobiles, and they're looking to where we can utilize part of that building right now and do this, but not only do it one day, do it every day. And give the kids other options when there isn't a car to work on. They could be building a house and learning other trades. There is a licensed electrician in that program. We were thinking about them doing the wiring for the tiny houses, but we had a meeting last night. And
right.
It was they're open to kick off some more things. So
okay, have you heard from Reba lately? I got to contact her because the February the 3rd is coming up like really really soon.
Yes, it is. I texted with her the other day. I haven't spoke to her.
Okay.
I think she's, you know, trying to get sponsors for the show, trying to get people, you know, the show lined up, people in, the, you know, that's going to be doing it. She did send me a flyer to it.
Yeah, I got that, so and it was, they did a live rehearsal I got linked to about 2-3 days ago.
Oh, okay.
Well, now, yeah, now the carpenter, not the carpenter, besides the union, any other boots on the ground people that would be good candidates to have on the ground?
Well, yeah, just, I mean, basically anybody with any kind of framing experience to know what, you know, how to get a wall standing there level, you know, they can read a level. They can run a screw gun.
Right.
And we can do a video course. You know, we can go on Zoom and just do a course and show you. We can explain it to anybody. I don't have to be standing there for somebody with common sense to be able to put a puzzle together.
Right.
It's not a difficult thing. It's really, it lays out there and you're like, wow, there's, okay, well, boom. It's standing there.
Right.
I see that it's easier to build this than it is one of those tough sheds, those Rubbermaid tough sheds that we talked about that
yeah.
one guy making.
It's
easier to put together than that because you're going to put a whole lot more screws and stuff in that other thing than you are this.
Okay. All right. Well, it's coming now for the people just tuning in. Jump off topic if you guys want to comment on it. The question today is: Should Aretha Franklin's song "Natural Woman" be banned? And you had some people say it's a fake trans women's or fake trans group. I don't know, but they put out a tweet. Stating that the song "Natural Woman," sung by Aretha Franklin, Mary J. Blige is singing it, Celine Dion is singing it. Some say it is offensive to trans women. So, what say you? The song was released in 1967 or 68, one of those years.
I don't think it's offensive.
I don't think it's offensive either.
I mean, I thought it was an energetic song. I mean, if anything, it was something to empower women.
I agree.
I definitely did not in any way take it as a negative, offensive way every time I've ever heard it. But, you know, we're all talking about something that's back in 1967, and it's not something that's just played on the radio. People ought to have a choice, right? We have choices to make every day. We do. So, you know, you can choose to change a channel if you don't care to hear it. But also, it's more than likely not going to be on the radio. It's going to be someone that had bought the song or has downloaded the song, and they're listening to it. And who are we to tell people what they can't listen to?
I agree. Let's take some other calls on this. 407 area code, your mic is open.
Good day, Grand Rising. This is Beata, your Blog Talk host on Friday morning, Health and Wellbeing with Beata, and Sunday evening, Soul Purpose Healing. And I have a question for your guest. And the question about Aretha Franklin, Natural Woman, is almost so ridiculous. It's not even almost not worth even talking about, because, like you just stated, everybody has a choice. We all have a brain. And technology, I was just listening to a YouTube show called The Higher View. These ladies come on and talk about current issues from a higher view instead of like the view that the ABC or whatever produces. And technology is so great right now that it's meant for us to use it, not control us. And to think that we should be controlling what music is offered is so ridiculous that I just have to say, whoever put that out, that Natural Woman should be taken off, it needs to go sit down in the corner and meditate or something. So I have a question for your guest about how do we get children interested? Children, like my grandchildren are 6 and 8 years old. And L.A. and I were talking about having a workshop for them, for kids to build. How do we begin to get children at that age interested in building so that they want to learn more about it? What are some of the basics that we can do to introduce children to building their own houses?
Start showing them something on a video.
Okay.
Because you don't have a problem getting their attention on the screen.
Right.
If it can be, you know, a civilization building game, which they're probably going to educate you on. But when they do, you're just like, okay, now do you see how you did that with your fingers and your hand? Now, let me show you. If you pick this up and take it over and set it down so that older person could handle this tool, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to put the tool in those kids' hand yet. We just want to get them started on designing the cities of the future. Get them into what they want to see. Because if they can envision it in their mind, they can create it on the computer. And
okay,
that's what we want to show them, is how they can skillfully do something and make a difference.
Now, I think I heard you say you live in Illinois.
Yes, ma'am.
And you said you're leaving Illinois?
I am. I'm sorry.
Where are you headed?
That depends on you, actually. I have an open register to where I go. I do have something that we're doing quite a few things in L.A. As we're partnering with other organizations that are just wanting to be the change they want to see, and they know they can't do it alone, but together we're so much stronger. And bridging the gaps, you know. So it doesn't matter to me if I head to California, if I head up north, if I head out east, if I go, you know, northeast. It doesn't matter. I can go south. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
And
so
surely
you're ready to come.
I'm open.
So we want to invite you to come to Florida. I have a partner here, a lady who bought my tiny house, who's trying to develop a tiny house village about an hour outside of Orlando, and she has 2 acres of land, and she has all kinds of great ideas. She's building a pyramid, she's got a greenhouse, and that's where we want to have the kids workshop this year, maybe for either spring break or summer. And so we would love to have you come to Florida to help us put that together or be a part of that.
Definitely. That would be wonderful. And, you know, we also have a passive solar greenhouse that grows fish, vegetables, and mushrooms.
Oh, wow.
So
that sounds exciting.
This is something that we can integrate into where the children can see. They see life, and they see different kinds of life. They see the vegetation, and then they see the fish, you know, and they watch the fish grow. And that's the beautiful thing. As they grow, the fish grow. So
do you think a weekend event would be enough, or should it be longer than a weekend?
Well, that just depends on what you guys want to do. I mean, if there's a way that it funnels people in that are, like, out on the tourist situation, you know, it all really depends on how much you want to grow, how much you want to do, what your point is. You know, mainly, you know, what is it? What's the purpose of what we're doing? We're doing this so that we can help people and we can reach a need. You know, I was sitting there thinking of how to use two letters from a word, and that's D-O, that's doing something. So if we do something and we take the first two letters of need and we put them together, we can get it done. And we need to do that. So we need to meet the need. We need to claim the problem. So it depends on how big of a problem, and we know there's a big problem. So it ain't just the 2 acres. It's what else can we do? You know,
okay.
if you have me there for 2 days, I can do so much. If I'm there
okay.
for longer, we can do more.
Okay. So what's the best way to connect with you?
My phone number is 309-542-6319. And my name's Chris
give
Collins.
What's that again?
Chris Collins. Chris Collins.
Chris Collins.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And I'm Viata, and I'll be in touch. My partner's name is Carla. She's really excited and about this vision about developing this community. So I'll be in touch. Thank you, Chris. I always enjoy hearing you on the show.
Well, thank you. I can't wait to hear from you on the phone. And we'll see. And then we're going to do something. So it's
yeah.
even better, because now we're going to get something
yeah.
done.
All right.
Let me throw this in, too. Yeah, let me throw this in, too, with children. I'm just thinking out loud right now, throwing some other activities. Because Florida has 3 national forests. What's the closest one? You remember that one we went to? You took me to some, it was a national forest. You know where they had the, you know where bears are at? We didn't see any bears, but bears live there.
Ocala.
Remember, was that
Ocala? Yeah.
Right. So you got activities where if they want to go boating, camping, fishing, or what. I don't know how close Carla's at, you know, but, you know, there's a lot more to Florida than Disneyland. So I guess to keep kids entertained, because you got to keep them entertained, you know, just food for thought, just thinking out, you know, whatever they like, you might have options of, you know, what's included on top of the building. And then what will they be building? You know, will it be a tiny house? Will it be a dollhouse? Will your grandchildren, how much interest did they show when you converted that shed into a tiny house?
Oh, they were definitely.
And do they like hanging out there in that?
Yeah, they're definitely fascinated with it. They visit here all the time. And they have a game called Minecraft. I don't know if you're familiar with Minecraft. My granddaughter just loves that. It's on her tablet, and it actually is a game where she builds things on this tablet. She moves blocks around and builds houses and construction and things. So she's already, I think, in there. She's 8. So she's already in that, I think, that mindset of building something and creating something. My grandson is very competitive, so somehow we're going to have to give him a vision or a project or a purpose of how he can compete in this area of house building. Any ideas, Chris, on how we can develop the competitiveness of building houses? Because he's definitely a competitor.
Yes, and see, he would wind up being a leader. And
yes,
he would
yes.
show that. That's the beautiful thing of watching them explore who they're going to be. They have, you know, right now we don't have an idea, neither do they, but if we don't give them the opportunity to just grow and do some positive things. But I do know the number one gaming system, game stuff going on is civilization building. And it don't matter if it's an adult playing it or if it's a child. It is the number one game going on right now.
You said civilization building?
Yeah, not necessarily the game called civilization building, but the games that build civilizations, the empires, and all this stuff. They are the number one gaming platform.
Okay, yeah, you got it. That's right. You're right. So, yeah, thank you. And that's right. My grandson's a leader. That's another way to look at not just wanting to compete, but he's a leader. And when he competes,
right.
If he's not winning, he wants to take over. So, but I see that he's definitely a leader. So, you know, he plays chess. He and I play chess. He knows how to play chess. And if he's not winning, he wants to change the rules. And then if I don't want to change the rules, he doesn't want to play the game. I'm like, what kind of mind is this? If we don't play by your rules, the game's over. It's like, what? So I'm really observing his character and how he's going to be a leader for sure.
Well, and this is where we can mold him to embrace his powers,
yes.
and do it positively and change people and help people and do things. That, you know, it's all about them succeeding, but it's also them knowing how to treat another human being.
Yeah. And that's beautiful.
Because everybody's
going to
be different. They're not all going to be as good as you, but that don't mean that they're not worth as much as you.
Yes, and if we can impart that wisdom while they're building, we're going to create some awesome, an awesome generation to put that type of wisdom in them while they learn how to build a new civilization. Great idea.
Yeah, they have a computer game called Sim City where people build. Your granddaughter might be on something like that.
What is it again?
It's called Sim City. I don't know if it's still around, but, you know, you actually built a city online from scratch. But they got active imaginations. They can build their own little village.
Right. We have to direct and guide and not try and control so much and just give them little nuggets of wisdom as they go. Right.
Teaching the fundamentals.
That's right.
And teaching the fundamentals.
Thank you.
All right, you got the contact information on that, so people will update you on that as it progresses. 773, your mic is open.
Yeah, good morning. I want to go back. I missed Chris' phone number. Can you share that again?
Yes.
Chris,
309. Yes, sir.
542. 6319. Thank you. You're welcome.
LA, thank you. And to everybody, you know, interesting, on Friday you said we're going to do a segment. One of the things that we find, and this is something that the traditional religious model myth is that man is like God. Man by nature is a builder, grower, multiplier. That's what he does best. And what has happened, and I'll cover a little bit on this Friday, we have been distracted from that. And now we're lazy and in a situation where instead of doing the things that come natural to us, such as training our children to do that, well, now we sold out and now we got so much bondage, because we have not practiced what we by nature. So I will be covering how we are to build, multiply. That is our design. That is our DNA by nature. We've been turned away from that. And we'll talk about that
Friday.
That's
a very good point. Very good point, because with the creation story, you can just relate. That was like a construction story. There was building involved. And if you look at Joseph, he was a builder. Jesus was a carpenter, also a builder. Historically, you're right. It's only really in contemporary times when the critical mass of people, particularly men, don't know how to build. So
that was by design. It was part of his,
well,
the adversary's scheme was to get us away from that. Get us away from that. But by nature. And as you were talking about with your Ms. Robinson, with your children, it's natural. They fall right into
right.
it. Chris knows it too. They fall right into it because it's natural.
Right. Even the slaves that they brought over to the Western Hemisphere, they were builders. I mean, they knew the basics of building. And then whatever they didn't know, you know, they had to pick it up and, you know, built infrastructures and houses and plantations and so on down the line. So very good point you brought up. So, people, that's Friday, Family Capital with Delmar America, how to turn your family wealth into paychecks. That's this coming Friday. And now, Delmar, now, give us your website. For people to catch, because you recorded about 50. You're constantly recording them, so you got about 50 of them in the can now, I believe. So if people want to pick up on that, well, how did they get? Give us the website.
DelmarAmerica.us. That America is spelled with two A's. DelmarAmerica.us. And you'll see the recordings on demand.
Okay. Now, Delmar, before you go, I got to ask a question of the day. You don't have to answer it if you don't want. But should Aretha Franklin's, this is just a question, should Aretha Franklin's song Natural Woman be banned? You have some, I don't know, there's some say it was a fake trans group, I don't know, trans women's group. They find the song offensive. I don't think it's offensive. Chris doesn't think it's, I mean, what's your take on, you know?
I'm going to comment, as the sister said earlier, it ain't hardly worth the time it takes to comment on it. Because you go back to the 70s, all the artists, there was a message. And this woman, if I remember right, she was saying her man made her feel like a natural-born woman, which is what she did.
You're right.
So this idea is
right.
Some kind of stupid concept that is trying to promote something else. And by the way, I was told, I didn't know this there recently, that what's her name? Diana Ross did a song that I'm coming out, and they have grabbed that and made that their theme song. She wasn't talking about that. That kind of stuff was not being promoted back then. So again, these people are using stuff and trying to twist it around and make it something not being. But like I say, I'm gonna stop talking, because the more I talk, the more credit I give to it. So thank you.
All right, we'll stop it on that one right there. All right, so. We're going to wrap it up for today. We're kicking off kind of early, but I like what's going to shape up with Viata has a YouTube channel, Viata's Tiny House, Viata's Tiny House Village. So she's got a she's in her second tiny house now. The first one she had a tiny house on wheels that she lived in for 5 years. I went out there a couple of times to visit her. It was like 168 square feet. And I'm 6'8", so it was tall enough for me. I didn't have to duck my head coming in the place. It had two rooms. It had a bathroom, a private bathroom with a regular size toilet, washbowl, and then shower. Oh, I didn't have to bend at all in that. And I'm sick of it. Then the other part of the room, or house, a room within that tiny house, 168 square feet, she had a bed area. She had an office area. We're talking about for a laptop, printer, you know, the basic home office, plenty of room there, nothing cramped. And then she had a kitchen area in there, too, which, I mean, it was, you know, she lived in for 5 years. Now, she sold that and then took the money, and then her son, one of her sons, she has two children, sons, she got two grandchildren, two sons, but the son that bought the house, his house, like somewhere in Orlando area, it had a shed, and what she did was she converted the shed into a tiny house. So, matter of fact, we're going to have her talk about that or even do a tour of it, because she's got flush toilet. She's got plumbing in there. She's good to go all the way. And I think that's something like 320 square feet. So she practically doubled her size with the new tiny house that she's in. So her grandkids visit her at the original tiny house that she had and the new one that she has. And then one day, you know, those grandkids will, you know, inherit that. So I'm interested in see what happens with, which I know is going to be a success, this 2-acre plot that they'll have this tiny house camp for just not kids, but something where children, parents, and grandparents can all come together and build. So we'll keep you posted on that as it happens. On that note, doggone, okay. We want to cut it off for today. I got to return some phone calls here. Everyone have a good rest of the day.